News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
But it is time for our Friday phone-in. Our guest this week, Mary Lou MacDonald, leader of Sinn Féin. Mary Lou, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Where did you put the sunshine?
Oh, I know.
I know.
It's bitterly disappointing. I kind of got a bit of spit of rain on me last night, actually, when I was out.
It doesn't augur well. Hopefully the sun will come back.
Hopefully it will. We're not here to talk about the weather. We're here to talk
about
whatever our listener wants to talk about, because we've been asking people to get in touch, texting in on 53106 and calling in on 1894-53106. There's been a huge amount of different issues people want to ask you about. So, look, we'll get straight into it,
okay.
I would propose, because we have Aoife on the line, who I understand has a question in relation to the high cost of living. Aoife, what would you like to ask Mary Lou?
I was wondering, I'm actually working in the service industry at the minute, and I was wondering, we're struggling really to pay rent and to pay bills at the minute, and it's a very fickle industry where one day you could be in a job and the next day you don't, because unfortunately we have very, very little rights, and you could just be sacked on the spot and you'd be out of a job. But we also have to pay rent with the cost of living at the moment in Drogheda anyway, but I know across Ireland is extremely high. I was wondering what Mary Lou could do for people in my similar situation.
She kind of has two questions. Thank you very much, Aoife, for that. Just kind of two things there. There's a cost of living issue and there's also a security in terms of employment security.
Can I say, first of all, on the job security point, don't misunderstand the position. Everybody has a set of basic employment rights. So it's not, I don't think we should, you know, talk up a storm around people with no rights.
Mm.
The problem is precarious employment, for sure. Zero-hour contracts, short-term contracts, and a failure for employers to commit to their workers, expecting huge commitment, huge work rates. I think there is also a problem, Aoife, and I'm not sure if you're a member of a trade union. I think we have a generational issue now with people assuming that you can look after yourself and actually that you don't need that collective protection. I think that's wrong-headed. So I would always encourage people to join a trade union. I encourage employers to be good employers. Good employers get high productivity. They get huge worker loyalty. So this very hard-nosed and sharp practices that are adopted by some are not just wrong, but they're very, very short-sighted.
Do we talk up the precarious employment issue here? Because I know Dan O'Brien, the economist, has kind of talked about giving stats
don't.
And says, look, it's actually not as high here as it is in the UK or other countries. It's not as big an issue as some
I know,
might
but we shouldn't look for bargain basement comparisons. No, we don't talk it up. And to take a sector, the retail sector, for example, I know people even living in my own direct locality, most of them are very young workers. They're working unbelievable hours, and they are treated very, very badly, and they are employed by bad employers. Now, I'm not suggesting that every employer is a bad employer. They're not, but they are out there, and we need more protections in law for workers. But we also need workers to act in a way that they protect themselves. And in my view, that's by being a member of a trade union on the cost of living piece. The rent pressure zones haven't worked. I mean, we have a government that's completely out of touch, that doesn't seem to understand the reality of lives like yours, Aoife, where things are very tight and things are a struggle. When you have a situation in Dublin where rents hit €2,000 and more, I mean, who can afford that? We have argued now for a long time for proper rent control, for a rent freeze, and for the government to get off the sidelines, get on the pitch and actually protect people. They sit back, cross their fingers and hope that the market will sort things out. It won't. So as a huge item of expenditure, we need emergency action. We've argued for a rent freeze that would give huge direct relief to people like you, Aoife.
It wouldn't help increase supply, though. That's what I know people, economists would say, that's great for people who are renting at the moment, but for people who want to rent next year, the year after, year after, there's not going to be anywhere after the rent freeze.
For sure. And that means building houses. That might sound basic, but in many respects, it is that basic. The government gives mixed messages. They tell us, on the one hand, this isn't about money, it's not about resources. The money is there. And at the same time, you look around and the evidence is that the houses aren't being built, not just social housing, but affordable housing also. Housing bodies, by contrast, will tell you that they can build. They can build on behalf of the state. Mm. They can do it to scale. And they tell a story of being wrapped up in red tape and paperwork and being frustrated in their efforts. So again, this is an ideological cul-de-sac that the Fine Gael-led government have walked themselves into. They need to get out of it very snappy. The houses need to be built. Renters need to be protected. And in addition to rent control and a rent freeze, we need to end the practice of buy-to-let landlords being in a position to evict people and families into homelessness. We've moved legislation to create that protection.
Yeah.
And Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil have voted it down time and time again.
Look, we have a lot of more callers on the line, but I just want to read a text here that's as well come in from Jo in Dublin, who said she wanted to ask Mary Lou why you've ruled out an increase in carbon taxes at a time when there is a climate emergency.
There is a climate emergency. I very much welcome that that's been recognised in the Oireachtas. Can I say though, the manner in which the climate emergency was announced by the state struck me as very odd. At a debate on an amendment to a report, to me, when the state announces a climate emergency, it's done in a full Oireachtas, it's done by the head of government, I think. And then more importantly, you get the actions to match the emergency. Carbon taxes don't work.
What's your evidence for that?
The model that is proposed, the dividend model, is borrowed from British Columbia. All of the evidence there, peer reviewed, demonstrates that in fact emissions have risen, they have not fallen. Climate emergency and climate action has to be about protecting the environment, undoing some of the damage and lowering emissions. Carbon taxes won't do that. What they will do is cause an additional burden for people like Aoife, who are struggling with the cost of living by increasing their costs. It's the wrong-headed,
carbon taxes haven't worked
way
in Canada because of tar sands, and there's just so much money to be made out of oil. We don't have that issue here. And if you link them to some sort of incentive to that, essentially the money gets paid back to you for changing behaviour, then it could work.
To change behaviour, you have to have not a punitive model, but a model of incentive. If you live,
why do we stop using plastic bags?
If you live,
because we charged for
but
them.
But there's a huge difference between a plastic bag and insulating your home, a plastic bag and purchasing an electric car. I believe that we can, but we need a green deal. We need big thoughts. We need big actions that actually allow people, not just well-heeled people, not just well-off people, but ordinary, regular people like Aoife, who was on to us,
yeah,
to actually live a sustainable life, to make that a reality for them, not to punish them with additional costs.
Joe and Aoife, I hope that answers your questions.
Thank you.
Mary Lou, we have Sorka on the line now. Sorka, you're a young disabled person who's finding it difficult to find work. What's your question for Mary Lou?
Well, my question for Mary Lou is, you know, what would Sinn Féin's kind of policy be about increasing people with disabilities, their ability to access the workforce and to stay as contributing members of society and to maintain their independence? What would Sinn Féin's policy on that be for disabled people?
Okay, great question, Sorka. Thanks indeed for that. What's your response, Mary Lou?
Well, we've finally ratified the UN Convention. So the first thing I would say to Sorka is, we need a change in our attitudes. I think, sadly, sometimes people with a disability are treated almost as though they're sick, but in fact they're not. They are people, full citizens with additional needs, with huge capacity, with huge talent, and we need to harness that. We need to invest in more personal assistance hours to make people's participation in the labour market and work possible. We need to look at transport, so that we can ensure that people get to and from work. I was listening to a case of a young woman in Clare who was carried on a rival radio station, telling her story and the absolute inability for her to get to and from work because there wasn't suitable transport. I've come across the same phenomenon in respect of a new bus fleet in Waterford. In the city, we're slightly better situated in the cities,
yeah,
but
stuff,
not a whole
stuff
lot.
Stuff America was doing 25 years
exactly
ago. A supposedly capitalist, cutthroat capitalist
society. And things that we should be doing, given that we signed up, all of us, to a thing called the Barcelona Standards or Convention many years ago, in which we all promised to make our cities, our towns and our villages fully accessible. I think we need to invest in groups like that peer group in, I think it's in Drogheda, that actually trains and assists people in a mentoring fashion to get back into work in a very practical way.
All right.
So there are practical things that can be done. There's investment that needs to be made. But I contend at the baseline of this, we have to start from a premise that people have abilities and you assist with additional needs.
Okay.
But you don't regard people as, you know, sitting outside of society because they're different.
OK, thanks indeed for that question, Sorka.
Ashling McAniff as well is on the line. Ashling, you have a question, I understand, in relation to the National Children's Hospital.
On the 28th of March, Sinn Féin with the government and Fianna Fáil voted that an independent review of the cost of moving the National Children's Hospital to a new site be carried out. There was a vote of 112 to 18 with three abstentions. There is no sign of this happening. Given that construction is still at a very early stage, could you please explain what Sinn Féin's current position is in relation to building the National Children's Hospital at the St James's site?
All right, Ashling, thanks very much. Fairly straightforward question.
That is straight. We want the hospital built. We've always had an open mind as to its location. We know now that the government made an absolute spectacular hames of this whole process from start to finish. We know through this example and others that they've a position of total disregard for public money. Having said all of that, we now know that to pull the current contract would sustain huge penalties with the developer, that it would set the project back years. So that benefit, that cost analysis needs to be done. We need to look at cost containment in all of its guises. We need to get this hospital built. We also need the acute services that have been promised at Blanchardstown to go ahead quickly. Equally, they've been promised for Tallaght. And we need to wind up at a situation where our children have the best of the best. And above all, we need never to repeat this experience again, because it was a case study in incompetence.
So least worst option, continue at James.
I think, unfortunately, we are left with the least worst option scenario. It's like when, you know, they say someone stops and asks for directions and someone says, well, I wouldn't start from here. I mean, ideally, we certainly would not be starting from here. But we have to keep an eye on the public purse for sure, but also on finishing this hospital. I remember the Matter debacle.
Yeah.
And it went on and on. We should have this hospital. It's a sign of the craziness of this government and our public administration that we wind up with one of the most expensive hospitals in the world. Cost containment needs to be high on our agenda, but services for our children also need to be delivered.
Okay. All right, Ashling. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, absolutely. Mary Lou, just before you go, a much lighter question from Jane in Cork. There was a question in about Game of Thrones, but you're a person of taste like me. I know you don't watch Game of Thrones.
Oh, lads.
I'm a busy person. Yeah, don't get me into trouble with Games of Thrones.
You can get it all on box sets, Mary Lou. We'll get you back in after you watch it.
I might do that after the election,
yeah, brilliant.
Karen.
You're even thinking of the Games of Thrones fans as voters as well. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Jane in Cork wants to know, what is your favourite movie and why?
Okay. I am a great fan of Doris Day. I thought she'd make it to 100.
Yeah.
She has died at 97, so I'm going to say Calamity Jane.
Brilliant. Kieran's a huge fan of Doris Day.
If you ask me that question again,
who?
Don't reference back, because every time I'm asked that question about favourite movies, I change my mind.
Yeah, well,
but that's my prerogative, I believe.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned Doris Day, because some of the younger members of our team, they just
don't tell me they didn't know who
they
Doris
know
Day
she was.
That's
crazy.
Is it really a big deal? I was like, oh, come on.
She's fantastic. Calamity Jane, watch it. It has to be watched. Everybody listening to this show, watch Calamity Jane, and then tell me, don't tell me that Doris Day wasn't incredible. Funny, lighthearted.
Yeah.
Shame.
She could sing, she could dance.
What's your favourite part of Calamity Jane?
Where she sings, I just blew in from the
windy
city.
The windy city is mighty pretty.
But it ain't got what we got, Mary Lou.
No, sorry.
Oh, God. Make it end. Mary Lou McDonald, leader of Sinn Féin. Mary Lou, listen, thanks a million
thanks
for coming in and answering those questions.